Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, Jamie will not be with us again tonight, so it'll just be me and Karen. And as soon as she gets here, we will get rolling. What we got tonight? We got Silo, The Lazarus Project, Manifest, and season premiere of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. What else have I watched? I just watched Extraction 2. It was pretty good. You know, there's going to probably be an Extraction 3. Your typical action-packed movie. Good story, though. I like the story. Kind of obvious at times, but a fun watch. So, what else have I watched? I don't know. What else have I watched or been watching? Yeah, pretty much just the podcast shows. Great. I hope Karen is up against here because I don't know what else about tonight. Gotta be something else I've been watching. There she is. Hello, Karen.
Hi, AJ. How are you? Going on?
Good. Ready for another night of Fandom Access.
Oh, yes. Another exciting night of Fandom Access, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and we got a lot to talk about tonight. It's like TV's back in full swing. We have like five
yep.
shows, I think, or, well, a couple of them we can kind of skip because they're The Walking Dead, right? although there are a couple of minor,
actually,
a couple of minor points I should make.
I actually saw a headline today, which I chuckled at. I didn't read it because I really don't care. But the
yeah.
headline says, Dead City retcons end of The Walking Dead. So,
Dead City what? Dead City what?
Dead
I couldn't hear you.
Retcons finale of Walking Dead.
Well, kind
yeah.
of, yeah.
Oh, did you watch it?
I watched it, yeah. I watched it mainly because
oh,
I missed
God,
Fear. I missed Fear, and then I had to wait like through Dead City for it to come on. So I was like, I mean, watch Schlock. I mean, it was way better than Fear, right? But I think it wasn't really good. I think it was just because Fear is so bad. And The Walking Dead got so bad at the end also that it seems like it was probably a perfectly average hour and 15 minutes of television that seemed good because I got to say, everything else is so terrible, right? Fear the Walking Dead was terrible, and I don't know if you were in the loop that it appears that this was Morgan's last episode. It's been written off the show.
Did not know that.
And at the end of the episode, well, I mean, it appears that way. At the end of the episode, he's like, okay, I'm over it, I'm done. I gotta go to Alexandria and see if my friends are still there. Now,
like
it
said.
Has been, yeah, right? Didn't I say, I bet he's gonna go there? He's gonna take my daughter, Mo. And he gets on the radio and he says, this message is for Rick Grimes. Remember the message he used to say in, like, season one when Rick was like, I'm going to say this message every day on the radio.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's yep. Morgan Jones. Rick, if you're out there, I'm going to say this message every morning at dawn. He says all that, right? But the hour that had preceded it was so bad. Like, Morgan's last episode was so, so, so bad. Like, a universally hated hour of television, I think. That it's really, and I, it had more callbacks to previous episodes, and I just think, like, them trying to, like, call back to the original series and to clear that fantastic episode, yeah, it was just a horrible, horrible hour that had so many, like, I wouldn't go into them all, terrible, terrible things that happened. In fact, I posted on somebody's Facebook page that, you know, Morgan's gone, and it looks like they're making Madison the hero for the last, you know, six episodes. And I said, that's Scott Gimple throwing a Hail Mary pass from his own 99-yard line, his own 1-yard line.
You know, it's it sounds like they're calling back to when it was good. They're calling back to when it was good to get people to forget the bad.
Yeah, it was really horrible, and it was sad to see Morgan, who was once a good character, like, leave like that, right? I don't know if we'll see him get to Alexandria and find out that Rick is dead. Like, everybody assumes Rick is dead and has been dead. Like Morgan's been gone from Alexandria for more than 10 years. His kid, who was not born in the beginning when he went on Fear, is, like, 8 now, right? It's been, like, at least 10 years. Like, why he can't... Anyway, it was terrible. It was perfectly horrible, and it was really kind of sad to see Morgan leave that way, right? Because Morgan, at one point, was interesting, although never as good as, like, what he was in the comic book. So, anyway, it was terrible. It was absolutely... It was really bad. I won't belabor all the bad things about it. But Morgan is off the show. So then we watched it. I watched Dead City. It was, so one thing I thought of you while I was watching it, because one thing I really didn't like was, they showed clips from the episode where Negan killed Glenn. Like, they showed Negan swinging, like, Maggie's supposed to be having a nightmare. And they showed, like, Glenn, you know, when they showed Glenn after his head was bashed with Lucille,
yeah,
and his, like, eyes hanging out. Like, they showed that, multiple flashes of that. Which Jamie's like, well, they were trying to, like, you know, for people who haven't seen the show before, they had to do that. And I'm like, Jamie, nobody's watching the show who hasn't already seen The Walking Dead, right?
Exactly.
And they, like, resorted to showing, like, scenes that really drove away half the audience. And I don't know, it kind of bothered me, right? Like, a lot of people just stopped watching after that. I didn't, but...
I know, I did.
And I think, like... Yeah,
and it wasn't because
of
that. It was because it wasn't because of, you know, the scenes or anything. It was because of how they treated us as an audience. First of all, you wait 25 minutes. You know, you come back after that long hiatus. You wait 25 minutes so that you get your ratings, to, you know, for us to find out who's dead. You know, and then we find out it's what's his face there.
Abraham.
What was his name? Abraham. And then they go and do Glenn also, but it's just like, I don't know, it stole Glenn's thunder having both of them killed like that.
Yeah.
And I felt like at that point that they were just like, you know, how many times do we say, you know, we're not stupid. You know, we hated it when they would treat the audience like a bunch of idiots. And at that point, I just was like, you know what? There's two, you know, the streaming services and all the different TV shows throughout the whole year. It was, you know, that's when it was just getting started. And I was like, there's too much good TV to waste my time watching something where the writers are going to treat the audience like idiots.
Yeah. Well, so Dead City has another time jump. Little Herschel is, I mean, looks like he's about 15, maybe. He's been kidnapped by... what's his name? Another fantastic actor who we love, who probably is going to be, will grow to hate before the show is over. his name is, it'll come to me in a minute. He's been kidnapped, and apparently come to find out that he's been kidnapped by some guy who Negan knew before he was a savior, or before Rick's people encounter the saviors. He's some guy it's Zelko Ivanic plays the heavy, this guy who knew Negan before, and he's really bad, and he basically is like, runs New York. It's some kind of future where, like, there's like some form of government in like the Alexandria area, but anyway, whatever, this guy runs New York, and he's kidnapped Herschel for some reason that wasn't, like, I think as collateral to make Maggie, like, do some shit. I don't know. Anyway, Maggie, because Negan used to know him, Maggie thinks Negan can help him, help her get Herschel back. So that's why they go to New York. And then some other hapless people.
And that's why she's
follow
with
them and all that. Yeah. I mean, so I personally am not a huge fan of forcing Negan and Maggie together. Like, I just, like that happened so much in the last season of The Walking Dead, the last two seasons, right? And they're you know, putting them together, I guess, because of dramatic tension, but I feel like it's been so many years. I mean, it's been, like, Herschel, Maggie was pregnant when Herschel's, like, 15. It's been, like, 15 years since he was killed, and I don't expect that you get over someone murdering your husband. I do expect that Scott Gimple stops trying to milk it for dramatic tension, right? So, and I have to say one thing I hated about this show, it is now, Herschel's now 15. So this puts us, like, what, like, all right, 15, 16 years into the apocalypse. Everyone's driving cars with unlimited gasoline. Maggie goes to a bar that has neon signs hanging on the walls and, like, orders a drink. What's going on? What's going on? Like, I get, like, right? There's all this stuff that they just don't even, like, the Walking Dead universe doesn't even bother to try to pretend it's an apocalypse. It's just, like, the world, and, right? Like, I don't know. Anyway, that was annoying. That distracts me every time it happens, right? like, and people so don't need to worry about staying alive that they can run a bar. Like, someone has a job running a bar, and people sit around there and drink in the bar and play pool and shit, right? Like, how, like, what? What? So, anyhow, that's my quick review of Dead City. It was better than anything I've seen on Fear in a couple years, but I don't know if that's going to mean it's great and it's only 6 episodes, right? So, away we go with that. Anyway, yeah. That was that. So we can move on from that. I think Jamie might have some interviews for Jamie's Watch All of Dead City. I don't know if she interviewed some people from the show. I was very disappointed. I thought of you also in Dead City. Michelle Hurd was in the first episode. Michelle Hurd, who played Rossi.
She was actually
in Picard.
She was in the episode?
She was in the episode.
Yeah, no, I know
who she gets killed. She gets killed in, like, the first season.
Well, yeah.
I was like, oh, she's going to be on the
surprising.
Show. It might be worth watching. And then all the good people on the show get killed right away, right?
Well, yeah, that was clearly a cameo.
Yeah, yeah. And she doesn't even get to turn. I don't think she gets to turn into a zombie. I think she just dies. Anyway, like, I can see people wanting to be on the show because you get to be a zombie, right? So, anyhow, that was that. That's where we are with that. Let's move on from the Walking Dead universe. There was almost everything else was better this week. Actually, we could talk about what was terrible. There was one show that was terrible.
Okay,
would you like
do you want
to
do
talk
that
about
first?
Manifest? Yeah, let's talk about
let's
Manifest.
Let's get that over with. Oh, my God. I don't understand.
Can't
we waited
that...
all this time. Like, what? I don't get it.
And we were told that Jeff Rake had a plan from, like, Jeff Rake had this whole thing, like, mapped out from the jump, right? And then this is what we get.
I think somebody stole his map and gave him another one.
Yeah, there was
first.
A lot. Not so. These two episodes focus on. So Michaela's father comes to visit her and has a stroke, like, while he's there in the detention facility, right? And so because this is the shittiest detention facility ever. He has a stroke in the facility, right? Or does he have a dream that he has a stroke?
Yeah, no. No, he had a stroke in the facility.
It's hard to remember because somebody also had a baby recently in the facility with no doctors around in there. But that
was
last
week,
right? Like, everybody's able to.
Yeah.
So he has a stroke in the facility, and they're able to basically sneak him out and escape with, like, a stroked-out person. Everybody goes behind every wall all the time, and Sonny's the doctor of everything. And so that happens, right? And then also, was there another plague? We already had the plague of boils and the crickets and the red water is still ongoing, right? And
the red water was at the end of last week.
Yeah.
But we found out we found out what it was. That it was, you know, it had nothing to, even though they implied that Daly. It had nothing to do with Daly.
Captain Daly.
They finally figured out that the end of the world is going to come to pass because of an underground volcano that is now active.
Oh, right.
They finally figured that out. Which we had speculated about a volcano a while back, you, me, and Jamie did. But then we kind of forgot about it because the story kind of went in a different direction, and now we're back to it.
Yeah.
And speaking of, and how annoyed were you? I got to believe you were as annoyed as I was when you finally see TJ. Now, we knew TJ was in the facility this whole time, and it took them how many episodes to show up? Like, the fourth episode before we see TJ.
Uh-huh.
Like, why hasn't TJ been there all, you know, interacting with Mick and Ben the whole time?
Well, supposedly because the prisoners are divided into separate groups, like group
A, that's right.
Even
still, if they're split into groups, TJ has been a very important part of all of this.
He doesn't show up until he's basically there to just be Olive's boyfriend now. And Olive's be like, TJ, there you are, all of a sudden, right? When things go, when the really worst part of the episode, of these two episodes happens. I mean, there's other stuff to hate also. When they decide, like, the woman who's in charge of the place has a freak out, basically, because they can't, like, you know, they should all be failures. They couldn't, like... She is really the worst. Like, we'll skip over a whole bunch of stuff until she says, we have the isolation protocol now in effect. We're just going to shut the entire prison and just leave them there until they starve to death or die or whatever. Right? Like, what the hell is that? What the hell? That is, somebody actually wrote that to be a television show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that ridiculous? Because I do.
I find her completely ridiculous, given the fact that she may cut a deal with Angelina to begin with. She was going to let Angelina go free if she got her the right. She's just like, all this is because of all you A2Aters. No, it's because of Angelina. Like, the biggest problems are from Angelina and the exes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the A2Aters, for the most part, they haven't bothered anybody. Hell, you didn't even know who half of them were until you rounded them up because of a couple bad eggs. You know?
Well, that big boss lady is like, we're supposed to believe that this big boss lady from Homeland Security who apparently, I mean, she's got to be pretty high up and smart to get that job, but she has Angelina has the sapphire embedded into her body. And you could do so many experiments on her and all these things and what if you wanted to, right? But no, what she wants to do is use Angelina to capture the eight people who are still out there at large. This is her main goal, right? Is to have Angelina help her capture the people hiding in the safe house. Like, really? That's your goal? Like, you're supposed to be, like, really... Also, she's a murderer and a kidnapper.
Yeah.
And you've noticed, you're not going to prosecute her as an example. You're not going to try to investigate... Anything with the blue, like, you're so fascinated by callings, but when you get someone with a blue sapphire embedded in her, you're like, oh, let's use it to capture other. Like, it doesn't make no sense, right? It's so bad and sloppy.
And not only that, but then she decides, okay, you didn't do what I wanted, so I'm just going to take the sapphire from you and use it for myself. You can't use it, lady.
You're not like the chosen one or the witness or whatever it is that you are.
Yeah.
You're not. You didn't bloop on the plane. It's a bloop on the plane to be able to use it, right? You're just a normal, non-blooping human.
Yeah.
Like, maybe another 828er could use it. Maybe you could be like, let me get it out of you and put it into, like, somebody else. Maybe. But you can't put it in yourself. It's not like a ray gun or a, right? or a bomb or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, she's so horrible. She's so horrible. And then she decides, I forget what's the precipitating thing that happens. I forget what was the incident that made her be like, you know what, we're just going to evacuate this place and leave y'all here to die.
Because of the fissure that opened
up.
And guys fell into the volcano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the volcano opens up partially, like, in the hallway of their place, and her guys fall in there. But somehow it doesn't damage any of the rest of the whole of New York City. And so they're just going to leave them there to die, which is crazy also, right? Also, okay,
yeah.
If you think it's going to maybe get larger and kill the 828ers, should you not be worried that it's also going to swallow New York City? Right?
No, it's the 828ers' fault, so we're just going to, you know, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. So let me ask you.
Oh, yes.
How disgusted were you with Mikayla and Jared?
Did I call that, though? Have I called that? That the end game
was
going to do
that
together?
We knew it was going to happen. I was still hoping against hope. I mean, we're just talking about, like, it's only been 8 months, and finally she's just like, eh, screw it.
I know, because she had this vision of Zeke where he was like, I'm going to the cave last week, right? Mm-hmm. And so now, like, she wasn't even just like, I mean, it's not even like they were tentatively trying to, like, begin find it. They're just totally, like, together now, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're
Yeah.
like, she's sitting in his lap and kissing him and making out, and they're totally together now.
And
that
poor,
was annoying.
What's her face there?
Andrea.
Andrea, who she's like, oh, no, it's cool. You know, like, you know, we weren't together anymore. You know, we weren't screwing around anymore. It's been a while. And meanwhile, you can tell, like, the minute he says to her, he's like, oh, I didn't even get a chance to see your text. What was, and she's like, oh, I don't even remember what it was. Don't worry about it. Like, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what that text was about.
I don't like that storyline either.
Nope.
I don't like it probably because, like, it was so clearly established for so long that Drea, like, didn't care and that it was Jared who was getting too into it. And Drea's been very clear and very casual. And then because it's convenient, they write it now that Drea's kind of sad. And I guess you're being, like, a little fed, being like, oh, it was fun having sex with that guy for a while. And now I can't, right? But, like, they're making it – they made it almost like she was really – I mean, that bothered me. I just felt like that also was, like, revisionist storytelling all of a sudden.
Yep.
Right? Like, is it me? Or, like, that's annoying.
No, that was...
Yeah.
That was absolutely annoying.
Yeah.
That was completely and totally ridiculous.
I didn't like pretty much anything I saw on my screen in these two episodes.
No, I didn't either. And then friggin' Egan... He's the worst, too. Like, all right, you know what? At least Egan stays true to character. He does whatever's necessary for Egan in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, you thought maybe he might turn a corner after reconciling with his parents. But no.
Yeah.
Egan is Egan, period. You know, that whole thing with the A2Aters that are still hidden away... And, you know, kind of coaching Angelina on how to win them over, basically by making them all feel like shit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, like, I was, you know, we're watching it, and Artie's like, he's like, she is so manipulative. I was like, yeah, but who's manipulating who? I was like, this is Egan's plan. He's like, yeah, but she knows how to sell it. Like,
yeah,
she does kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this whole thing, like, why? I don't know. Just the whole thing is just so awful with where they're going with it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. For some reason, Egan is a better written character. I'm not really sure why. I think, you know, I've never been a TV writer, but I understand that sometimes in writers' rooms, different writers will sort of handle a certain character. Like, if it's an Egan story, you write it. And if it's an Angelina story, I write it kind of thing. And maybe whoever's got responsibility for Egan... It's just, like, better because I agree with you. He's always true to his character, even when and it's annoying to see him being like, oh, I'm going to try to control Angelina and control the Sapphire. But it's true that Egan never learns, and he can't, like, help himself, right? He never learns. He can't help himself. I think we all know trying to control Angelina is a fool's idea and will never happen. And, you know, she... Does she control the Sapphire? Does the Sapphire control her kind of thing, right? Like, who knows where that's going to go. But it was really kind of like to see him in these last few episodes be like, oh, I'm going to find a way to, like, control the Sapphire and whatever, after he just had that, like, big lesson learned only last week with his parents, right? He thought he might be turning a corner.
Yeah.
He's not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bright spot,
and then
it's terrible.
And then everything goes down. They're going to, you know, send all the, everybody out. We're locking the A2-8ers in here. We're posting armed guards, so they're going to, you know, this is their tomb, basically. And then, you know, Eden, I get Eden taken off because she wants to be with her, you know, see Daddy again and be with her father. I get that. And then, but Olive, let's take the smartest person on the show and stick her in a box with no access to anything to help her solve all the callings, because she is the one that's always solving everything. Let's stick her in a box. Now, I have a feeling, because of what happened with Cal and Vance, I have a feeling they're going to use that van somehow to get them out.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but they're going to help the 828ers escape, so it's not really going to matter in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've got 4 episodes left. And this is where we're at.
Yeah.
4 episodes, and yeah.
And they've gotten, like, kind of away from the lifeboat. Like, every now and then they mention the lifeboat, but we've really gotten away
from that mystery for
a long time, right?
Ben mentioned the lifeboat in this episode, and I was like, wow, he hasn't said it in so long. I actually forgot about the lifeboat. Damn it, Ben.
Yeah, Ben, the lifeboat. Everyone's kind of forgotten it. Like, I also feel like, so I get it, Mikhail, that your father had a stroke, and you need to take care of him or whatever, but I think they are using it just to put her together with Jared and make them be in their little love nest and not really for any reason. And I feel like Michaela should really be, she's the co-captain of the lifeboat. She really should be. And like this idea that she and Jared can somehow nurse her father back to recovery from his stroke, is wrong. Right? Like, it's a really bad idea. He needs to be, like, what? Like, why would she not just, there's no reason why they couldn't take him to a hospital and let the, you know, it's like, oh, the kids can't take care of him. Well, like, he couldn't, like, there are things you can do. Like, they really just wrote that story. I feel like they just gave this guy a stroke just to find a way to have Jared, just a way to have Jared and Michaela, like, hold up alone together somewhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, when Cal and Vance finding them, though, it kind of brings everybody back into the fray, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
They just need to be holed up in the cabin long enough to rekindle their love.
I know, right? Because I guess they were always meant to be, even though we were supposed to believe for a while that she and Zeke were meant to be. I guess she gets 2 meant to be people within 5 minutes of each other.
She's lucky.
Right? She has 2 perfect lifelong mates, 2 loves of her life. Yeah. So, yeah, with only 4 left, I feel like they're going to have to come back soon, right? They're not going to be able to, like, they had the stroke, they went to the Love Shack, now it's established that they're together, so they can come back from the Love Shack. It's been clear to us they're together now. We don't, right? The Love Shack / nursing home where they live. and I guess poor Cal is just supposed to live alone in that house now and find a way to live, right?
That was the other thing. I was just like, when Olive decides to stay with Ben, I was like, really? it's like poor Cal.
Yeah,
he's always getting left behind.
I know,
I kind of like him and Vance, though. I thought they make a fun, odd couple.
They do kind of make a good team. I think everybody feels there should have been a greater effort made to find Eden and get the hell out of there before they got locked down. Although everyone gets out of there every 5 minutes. Like, what kind of a lockdown can it really be?
Yeah, they
also
didn't have a lot of time to do it.
in another piece of shitty writing, the really mean cop who's been a total jerk forever, like, turned nice because of the little stuffed bunny or whatever, right? Like, he wanted to shoot them and then he had a total
change of heart. An 8-year-old talked him down.
Yeah.
Or however old she's supposed to be. Maybe she's not 8. She's like 6, maybe.
I mean, I guess I really thought that guy was going to get swallowed by a volcano or something, right? I mean, I thought that guy would die.
Did.
I didn't really see a little... It's not full redemption, but I didn't really expect anything for him.
I, too, was really hoping for a very bad ending for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Me too, right?
I was expecting him to...
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, four more. Maybe it'll turn around in the last couple.
It's just these past couple episodes, there's been a lot of, for the sake of, to get the story where they need it. I mean, and, you know, I'm even giving them the benefit of the doubt for a minute, and to be fair, Jeff Rake had a plan for 5 seasons of full seasons on what the hell channel is it? What the hell is this on?
It was on NBC.
Is it NBC?
Yeah.
Okay, NBC. That's what I thought. I couldn't remember. Full plan, you know, full seasons planned for NBC for 5 seasons he had mapped out. He got 4 seasons, and he got shortchanged last season, and then he only got 20 episodes to finish it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I will say, if you got to speed up the story a little, maybe stretched out over time, like Jared and Michaela, you know, if they had 2 seasons and they didn't get back together until season 5, you know, or, you know, some of the stuff with Angelina stretched out over periods of time might have been better. It's just everything's kind of.
But they have no time, so they have to have Michaela and Jared get together in one episode. They're back in love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you. I feel that. He didn't have the time. Jeffrey hasn't the time to develop this, maybe.
I'm still annoyed. I'm just saying. I give a little bit of a pass just because of the fact that we're even getting the end of the story at all is nice, unlike Snowpiercer.
Yeah, right. We're not getting it all. Yep, fair enough. I hear you. All right. So,
you know, I really feel like Snowpiercer should get accidentally leaked online.
Oh yeah.
It wouldn't be the first time something like that's happened.
I mean, I feel like at some point has to get put on. Like, it's already made. It's already in the.
It's done.
Plan. Like,
why would you not hear it?
Date.
Well, because Warner Brothers is using it as another write-off.
They wrote it off. Yep. But why would you? At some point, they're going to have empty airtime, and why not? Yeah, we'll see it eventually, maybe, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
And the only reason I thought about it tonight was because the kids and I were watching. Those shorts. Star Trek Visions on Disney Channel, and David Diggs did the voice for one of the characters. So we got to talk about Snowpiercer earlier tonight.
Yeah, yourself, yeah. Worked up about it a little bit, yeah. So. At least we're seeing the end of the show.
So
all
we
right,
do next.
Let's move it along to what do we got? We got Star Trek. We got Lazarus
and Silo.
Okay.
All good
let's
shows.
Talk
ab- so, take your
let's
pick.
Talk about. What about Star Trek? The season premiere of Star Trek was this week of Strange New Worlds.
All right.
I have actually seen, I think, the first 4 episodes.
Oh, that's right,
because
you did all those interviews.
Because I did a few interviews, but I rewatched the first episode so I'd remember, like, where it cut off, what happened, which was not hard because this first episode ended with, like, a kind of a closed chapter. I mean, of course, they always, like, throw it open for, like, another thing, but it was a closed story by the end of it.
Yeah.
So in this episode, Pike is off the ship. He's going to get a lawyer for Una, who's in custody over the being arrested at the end of last season, right? And so It's kind of fun. Like, this was Spock's first time ever in the chair, right? This was Spock's first time ever.
Yeah.
He's only a lieutenant, and it's his first time commanding the ship. And all he has to do is sit there in space dock and not do anything. And, of course, that's not the way it goes.
Yeah. Especially after Pike says, "You're in space dock. What's going to happen?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, I love the fact that they are poking fun at themselves when she's like, "What's your thing?" And he's like, "Do I have to have a thing?" And she's like, "They all have a thing." And he's like, "Okay, I would like to go now."
Yeah.
You know, like Picard has, you know, Engage and different, you know, there's different ones on different shows. I don't remember Janeway's. Yeah. I don't remember Janeway's, though.
Yeah, and Sisko doesn't have one because
well, he had the Defiant, you know, when they were on the Defiant.
How we went on Defiant, yeah. And what is Pike's? Pike's is hit it.
Pike's
Barnum's is punch it. Is it punch it? No, it's hit it. Ortega's goes, his is hit it. I hear Burnham's either. Anyway, they all have one. They all have a catchphrase, right?
Yeah.
Picard had two.
Picard had two because, one was when he was flying, and the make it so was just like his, you know, they'd have a conversation he'd be like, "Okay, make it so." But when they were flying, he would say, "Engage."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I always like, I know you haven't seen it, but the animated show, Prodigy, I always like the character Dal, who's basically the captain of the ship on that show. I loved his whenever he would be like, "Go fast," because they had like this special engine that makes the ship go, like it's an experimental engine. It's called the Protostar, and it's a prototype that nobody else in Starfleet has, and it's so whenever he would tell them, "Let's get going," he would say, "Go fast." Because the Protostar made them go really fast.
Oh, that's a good one.
But anyway.
So the storyline was a little, it was okay. It was this story where La'an she went on her mission, which she went after the Gorn, I think, on her mission, right? But she ends up on this planet, this mining planet,
well,
where she finds out that, like, she's helping
her she was helping the little girl
there,
find her
family.
She was helping the little girl from last season find her family.
Yeah. And it turns out that there was, like, a rogue group of... So it's very convenient that the Enterprise, like, missed the Klingon War, right? The Enterprise was out on their five-year mission during the Klingon War, and they missed it, pretty much. Not pretty much, like, entirely, most of them, except for the Doctor and Chapel, right? It's kind of interesting that a lot of the kids on the ship don't really know about the Klingon War, didn't experience it, but it turns out that there's a group of, like, Klingon, like, what are they, like, rebels, a Klingon, like, sect offshoot that are, like, mining all the dilithium.
Insurrection,
yeah, and they're trying to, like, trick the Federation and the rest of the Klingons into reigniting the war, right? They're trying to restart the war. They're pissed that they lost, and they're trying to restart the war. And La'an finds out, calls the Enterprise, and the rescue is on. It was an okay, like, storyline, but there were a lot of, like, fun things that happened in this episode. Like, I thought it was kind of a fun reintroduction to the cast, right? Like, we got to see, like, the Doctor and Nurse Chapel off the ship doing their, like, River Tam kind of thing. Like, the Doctor's, like, River on Firefly. he just goes like in the zone and like fights the shit out of people. I forget. Do we know why? Did I forget why, or do we not know why yet? That is.
Well, they juiced up. They got that. They've had that serum that like.
Oh, the green stuff. The green juice. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember she says she goes, "You sure you want to do this again?" And he's like, "Am I?" He goes,
yeah.
"Again." He goes, and he said something like, "Again, no, but we have no choice."
Yeah. And then he's like, "Under control.
That,
I've got under control." And yeah.
Yeah, that was a great fight scene. And you know, I could see a storyline here with him. He's getting addicted to it.
Yeah.
She's not so much, but he's like in the zone. He enjoys it. He won't admit it, but he enjoys it, which is funny because he's a doctor, you know, and they'll do no harm.
Yeah. And he's a legacy character. He was in the original Star Trek, but just like barely in it. Like he was just the second doctor and he didn't really like have a huge role in the original Star Trek. So it's
and he wasn't around very long. Like he was only in like one or two episodes.
Yeah, only in like the first. Yeah, he's like only, yeah. I don't even know why he was in it really. But anyway, so Dr. Mega, so those two go all like fighting frenzy, fight their way through. There's this whole, I was a little annoyed, AJ, how many times I thought of you when they were like, we're going to jump out in space. This is a terrible idea.
I thought of you. I was like, Karen's going to hate this. I was like, you know what's going to happen? I was like, Karen's going to hate this.
Yes, I hate it. I love it on a show when people go in space and immediately die because that's what would happen, right? And he's like, we won't pass out for 15 seconds until we pass out, but we'll be okay.
We won't die for a minute.
And The Expanse kind of did the same thing where people Naomi jumped into space. And, like, you pass out, but you don't, like, breathe to death for, like,
we saw plenty of people actually die on The Expanse going out the airlock, too, though. Naomi's the only one that made it.
That's true. I mean, wouldn't you automatically explode because there's no pressure? Even with a suit on, there's no pressure to hold your body together, right? And you certainly freeze to death. It's, like, so below zero that we
honestly,
can't even count.
I don't know the actual science behind it, but clearly in shows about space, they have their own rules because all the shows seem to have kind of the same rule. So I can live with that because all these different shows that have no connection all seem to have the same rule. But maybe there is science behind it. I don't know. One thing that kind of I'm not sure how I feel is they're making Spock more emotional than the original show. However, I wonder if that's kind of their thing. What they're doing here is showing how Spock was because he struggled, he's always struggled with his human side, but by the original series, he's pretty okay with his human side. I wonder if they're just showing a progression of him showing emotions, dealing with emotions, and then by the end of this, we see where he's at with the original series, where he's able to control his emotions and have emotions without letting anybody know that he's being emotional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a journey here for Spock to get that even keel that we know him for.
So, it's funny, I did a little interview, I did four interview panels with the cast, and one of them was Ethan Peck, who plays Spock, and Paul Wesley, who plays the Kirk brothers, and when I spoke to him, I said, I said that I think this is the most emotional Spock that I've seen of all the versions of Spock that we've seen. And, we saw Leonard Nimoy, we saw Zachary Quinto, we've seen. And I agree with you. I think this is a much more emotional Spock than we've seen. He was pretty emotional last season. He's having all these girl problems, right? he's playing a hunch in this episode. He's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. I agree with you. Do you not like it? How does it bother you? Is it like, it's all right. It doesn't bother me that much yet, at least. Right. Star Trek always has found humor in Spock's inability to, like, react emotionally.
Yeah.
Now we're finding humor in the opposite, kind of. And, like, a huge deal with me in the last 5 minutes of the show where Spock is, like, drinking blood wine with the Klingons. And later when he's talking to the Carol Kane character, Dr. Pelia.
Oh, my God. Oh, I hope she sticks around. Oh, my God. Carol Kane was amazing.
She was amazing. She was a great, great addition to the cast. Her character was, like, so entertaining and fun. I can tell you, I've only seen a few episodes. She does stick around. Basically, she can't leave. Right, they took off and she was trapped on the ship, but she made it clear she's happy about it. The Lanthanites are a little-known species in Star Trek, right? They're not, like, an original. They were first seen in Enterprise was when the Lanthanites were first introduced. With the Scott Bakula series, right? But they're not a, not an alien series that, like, if you watch Star Trek, you know all about them. And so this is, like, great ground for them to break with her, right? Because nobody knows a ton about them. Except that they're really long-lived. They managed to live. These are, like, the aliens that lived among humans, and we didn't know about it.
Right.
Right? Spock says they lived, like, they could be among us now, right?
Right.
we don't know much about her, but yeah, she was great. She was a great, great addition. By the way, I just want my hair to be like hers so bad. I have curly hair, but it's not like that. Granted, they had a hairdresser do that for her, but
to be fair, she has a whole department that does her hair for her. I'm sure.
I know, right? I need a department. I want to take a picture of that to my hairdresser and be like, "This is what I want my hair to look like." But remember when I wanted my hair to look like Laura Dern in Star Wars when she had that purple hair with Carrie Fisher when they were, you can't trust me, to stick with one. But, anyway, I guess where I was going was at the end of the episode, like multiple characters, like refer to Spock as like, "Oh, you're the Spock, you're the Vulcan who's not at all like a Vulcan. Oh, you're the most like," you know, a lot is made about him being Vulcan. Is that, like, foreshadowing his storyline for the season? I don't really know. Like, I've only seen, what is this going to be, like, 12 episodes, and I've seen a couple.
Right.
But, So there seems to be a lot of that going on. And he seems to really, like, he's still engaged to his fiance, I think, right?
You know, I don't remember where that left off, honestly. I was kind of trying to remember that myself. Where him and his fiance left things.
I think they might be still in.
Remember. They've got to still be engaged. I mean, all right, they've got to still be engaged because there is a point in the original series. Actually, I think it's one of the movies when they go to Vulcan and he says something to Kirk or Bones about his wife, and they're like, "He's married." Like, they didn't know he was married.
Oh, yeah.
So it definitely happens eventually.
And we know he doesn't end up married to, and we know he doesn't end up with Chapel because we know, like, we know that she's not with him. They have one kiss in the original series, but it's, like, involuntary, right? Aliens, like, mind control them. And make them to make them kiss.
The only thing about, I mean, obviously it's the first episode, so I don't know exactly where it's going to go. I do feel like the overarching storyline, because this whole season is going to be about restarting the war and everything, and the Gorn are going to clearly be involved in it. But it felt very undiscovered country to me. I don't know if you remember that. That was the Star Trek where the Klingons and the Federation were going to sit down for peace talks and everything, and Kirk didn't trust it. And, you know, Kirk was very against it because of his history with the Klingons. You know, the Klingons are responsible for his son's death and everything. So he is very against it, but he's trying to, listen to command and not cause any problems, and then it's made to look like the Enterprise shot fired on one of the Klingon vessels and destroyed it, but it turns out that it was the shot came from under the Enterprise, that it was a cloaked Klingon vessel that did it to themselves to restart the war. Like, there was a faction that didn't want peace, and they were trying to restart everything. So that's kind of how this feels.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where it goes, but there, I definitely had that feeling initially.
Yeah, I get that, yeah. I hear you on that. I was a little, so this was a fun episode, but they kind of really left the cliffhanger with Una is hanging out there, right? Like, the big cliffhanger was her getting arrested. And in the beginning, Pike is like, oh, I got to go get this lawyer for you. And she's like, no, whatever. She's kind of one of these very, like, noble prisoners. She's like, don't put yourself on the line for me. And he's like, whatever, I'm going to get this lawyer. And that's it. That's all, like, hanging out there, waiting for next week's episode to see what's going to happen with her, I guess. And so when I first watched this, I was a little bit like, wait, what? Why are we? But then it does get into it, we know it gets into it because they're not going to leave it hanging there, but also because I saw it.
No. You know what's funny, actually, is the one thing we haven't gotten yet that I was really waiting for by the end of the episode was Pike to come back to the Enterprise and be like, I left you alone for 2 days, you know, and you steal the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, I just left you in that chair. I told you, don't leave Starbase. And so at the end, he gets Spock is admonished by the Admiral, but the Admiral's like, whatever. And it turns out, like, we got bigger fish to fry. The Gorn are coming. There's like a Gorn attack ship, right? And they don't want, Starfleet always has to be so weird. Like, they're like, we can't tell anyone. We don't want anybody to know that we're fighting a war on two fronts, which seems kind of dumb that if you were in charge of, like, basically the military, you wouldn't be like, we need to prepare for this threat. But it's Starfleet, so, you know. It needs to be a secret so that Pike can stumble upon it and save the day.
Yeah,
right. That's
like
where
that.
It's gotta go. Yeah. So, anyway, anything else? Anything else we
no, that was pretty much it.
I mean,
that's
pretty much it.
Good start to the season. Yeah.
It was a good start to the season. All right. So, and then there were three. No, then there are two. Well, we got Silo, we got Lazarus. That's all that's left?
Yeah. Let's do Lazarus. We'll save Silo for last.
Lazarus keeps, like, kind of... Okay, it's only the third episode or the fourth episode this week, right? So,
third episode.
So I can't sure that keeps finding me, but this was, like, kind of similar to last week's episode where we had, like, big flashbacks and big personal story that you're like, do I need to watch this? That, like, pays off huge in the last 5 minutes of the show, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
I was intrigued the whole time by it.
I was, too, and it was really, I mean, so, Archie... I mean, it puts it in perspective with Archie losing her child and Ben is the main character?
No, Archie. George is the main character, but no, Archie lost a boyfriend last week because they wouldn't reset it.
And George lost
a
girlfriend
before. Right. Sarah. I can't remember
Sarah
the name.
Before.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of the woman that had the baby over and over
Janet.
And over again.
Janet.
And Kevin is
and
the...
And Rebrov.
Yeah, Kevin is her husband, who snaps.
Yeah.
I think the most twisted thing about the whole thing isn't even the fact that they had a boy. and then got reset and then had a daughter and she had to give birth to that thing 1,500 times. I think the fact that they realized their daughter is a mutant also. So that baby had to live through being reborn all those times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so much about it was so horrifying. Like, Janet, okay, so that they lost the boy and they think they have a plan to, like, get pregnant this time and it won't happen and it's a totally different child they're having, right? Which...
Yeah.
Maybe they knew but didn't know, and then, like, they think they're in the clear, and then I did kind of like how it turned out to be, like, what we saw, was it in the first episode or the beginning of the second episode, where Archie and
George.
No, Shiv? Was that the guy that was her boyfriend? Archie and the...
Oh, yeah.
Shiv, right? Is it Shiv?
Whatever thing. Yeah, something like that.
The red-haired guy who's, like, her boyfriend.
Yeah, Shiv.
Shiv, right? When we had seen them, like, over and over and over again, like, trying to stop the nukes, and it, like, they're, like, sitting up on that rooftop drinking a bottle of wine, like, oh, we're going to die again. And it turns out that, like, it was all of those resets that were what Janet was going through.
Yeah.
It's not Shiv. Her boyfriend is not Shiv. Shiv is the guy who was, like, the jerky guy to George.
That's his name? I knew his name was in there somewhere.
The guy that she... Ross? Is it Ross?
We got to pay more attention to names. Especially since we like the show.
Like,
usually when we like the show, we remember names. We're not doing too good anymore.
His name is, I know, we're not too, it'll come to me in a minute what his name is. That he, it's not Wes. Wes is the girl, the woman who's the boss. It's not Blake. I forget his name. Anyway.
It's Ross, right?
It's Ross, yeah.
I just
But the whole time that they were, like, living, and it was sort of, it wasn't lighthearted. We saw the world blow up, like, 20 times. But, you know, they were, and that to see that that's what Janet was going through, and she had that baby so many times, and you could see, like, how she was getting so depressed, and, like eventually we saw her not even wanting to hold the baby. And then for her to realize that, you know, and then, like, it, like, to see what drove Rebrov to leave the agency was really, I mean, that was kind of cool, right? Like, to see, and it turns out he doesn't want to blow up the world. He wants to blow up the machine. Like, he wants to stop the Lazarus Project from being able to reset because he's come to believe, he's like, we deserve to die. Like, we just keep trying to blow ourselves up. Humans keep trying to ruin the world. Like, let's just let us do it, right? But partly because, like, what he and Janet went through. Although now the kid's, like, 7, right? Like, now they got past it.
Yeah.
And the kid is older, but I guess it could, yeah. It was a pretty good episode. It was pretty devastating. I thought, like, it would change George's mind, but it hasn't, right? Like, he thought George would be, like, that would change, like, not change his mind, because it made him more determined that the mission is a terrible thing, but you thought it would, like, make him see his own loss in perspective, right? Like, I'm sorry you lost Sarah, but it's nothing compared to what Janet's gone through. But he's more determined. So, yeah, it was really good. I did have one kind of quibble. Go ahead.
What's that? I was just going to say, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes, because I feel like at the very least, at least once, because here's the thing. George succeeds in them resetting so that he gets Sarah back. It also resets capturing Rebrov. It's a win-win for everybody in that aspect. I mean,
it does.
The agency is actually awful.
It is and it's not. Like, you know that scene where Rebrov comes
Let
in?
Let the world end.
Like,
no, I think I'm on the same page as Rebrov. Like, you know what? Screw it. We keep trying to fucking blow ourselves up. Just end it. Who are we helping not?
But that's never going to happen, right? Like, half of Hollywood in the last 20 years is based on, like, people trying to stop the world from ending, right? And they could find a way to reset it. But I don't know. This show, like, you're right. No show that we have ever, I guess I disagree with you because, like, if you can save the world, save it. But this is Lazarus Effect, Lazarus Project. This is the first show that I have watched that has shown all the consequences of saving the world or resetting the timeline. Like, you know, you see other time traveling, time resetting shows, and you talk about resetting the timeline, and like maybe like somebody ceases to exist, and like, oh, Peter on Fringe ceased to exist. That was terrible. But nobody ever says like, oh, look, there's like 15,000 babies born every single day that are not going to be born, right? Or all the people who had babies that year. And the thing is, most people don't remember it. It's a very small amount of people who can remember it, right? The mutants or the people who are trained, yeah.
You know, maybe this really happened, and that's what deja vu is. When we feel we've done something before. Because somebody reset the timeline. Or we live in the Matrix, one or the other.
Or the Matrix, yeah. I guess with what he's seen, you can't blame George. Like, if George could turn back the time to save Sarah and then stop the singularity, then he could just get Sarah through that one day and be fine.
Right.
He's still in his first year. He had that first, like, experience where they got married, had a baby, and he hasn't gotten back there yet, and now she's dead, right? But we saw that in Fast Forward in the first episode. And so I guess it's hard for me to feel like George, I didn't experience it with George the way we did with Janet, right? Like, we saw George experience 9 months and 30 seconds, and then we moved along with him. And so, yeah. So I did find it, I was like, so at the end when George has the detonators, I'm like, did he just fly commercial with two bomb detonators in his bag and, like, nobody stopped him? Because that's not believable. Because he couldn't drive. He lives in the UK. He couldn't drive to Spain, right? I mean, I guess he could through the tunnel. But, I was like, wait, how did he get those two giant bomb detonators back into his house? But whatever. I might have missed something, but they don't know what they're blowing up, right? Like, George just wants to turn back time and save Sarah, but Rebrov was like, show me the machine. I want to blow up the machine. And Wes was like, A, I'm not telling you. B, it doesn't work like that. There's not like a machine, which is kind of bullshit because there is somewhere, but it's
well, there's
got
to be
like,
something. There's got to be something to turn the singularity on and off.
But it's not.
You know, like, the singularity is always there. But there's got to be something to access it. And, yes, it's not in their office because they always say make the call. You know, they got to make the call.
Yeah. And Rebrov comes in and he's like, show it to me. And so I can't show it to you. It's not here. And then he shoots that girl in the head, which was kind of shocking. Hope. It's Hope in the head. That was shocking. But Wes says, we don't have it. It's not here. And then amazingly, Shiv saves the day because Shiv is the guy that, like, he was such a jerk to George in the first episode, and I didn't really think of him as being, like, a hero type of guy, right? But Shiv comes in, saves the day, Rebrov gets that day. I mean, Rebrov has gone on to...
I was a little annoyed with that simply because Shiv seems to be all on Rebrov's side. And he's so sorry because he's the reason that they had to reset with after they had the boy, because he was so convinced that he was right on it. You know, his intel was wrong, and he's the reason they lost the son.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's an interesting character.
He is.
And maybe that's why he's such a jerk, because he's very conflicted. But it didn't stop him from trying to shoot Red Ralph, because, you know, even as bad as he feels, he's still trying to kill him.
Yeah.
So.
I like the show a lot. I think it's a good.
This week
I watched it with the closed captioning on. Like, I hate to be like an American who can't, like, I mean, I watch shows in other languages and with accents, but like, I think a lot of the shows that we like in America, a lot of the shows we get have like the posh British accent, which is not as heavy and is easy for us to understand, and we have some like more dialect British accents in this show. And I was watching on the TV with that, with not as good sound this week, and I had to put on the closed captioning to watch it. And, you know, I put on the closed captioning, and then later tonight, Wheel of Fortune was on, and my dad was like, did you put those words on the screen? My dad, who's 92, like, hates closed captioning. And I, who am way younger, I'm like, I need the closed captioning.
But
I really like the show, and you texted this week that it's been renewed and we're getting the second season. We'll get the second season here, or did we talk about this last
yes.
week? It's been renewed, we will get a second season here at some point.
Yep. And I texted, nobody responded, but I texted earlier today that The Diplomat has been renewed for season 2 and is already shooting the second season.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Which is funny, because we just recently were complaining about how long we have to wait for stuff now with the streaming services, and The Diplomat is already shooting, which means
that's awesome.
They had their script. That means they already had a script written before the writer's strike.
Yeah. Yeah, they must have. Maybe they had written like 2 seasons already. You're right.
That's
you have
I,
to have your script
what,
already
that's
written.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Strike. Yeah,
and that's what I was kind of thinking when I read that. They must have, are you know, in the hopes that Netflix renewed it, they already had the second season completely written.
Yeah, it must have been in the can, and they were just waiting to get renewed. But I don't know how long it was shot. The first season was shot for on the air, right? Sometimes stuff gets shot.
Yeah. True.
That's great. Okay. Anything else? Moving right along here?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So Silo.
Silo was kind of crazy, right? Like, were you expecting... it's really coming to a climax now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're wondering if I suspected the acting mayor, Tim Robbins' character, I didn't trust him from the jump. So I wasn't surprised to see that it's actually him behind everything, not Common's character, whose name I wrote down this week because I couldn't. Sims. His name is Sims. Sims is Common's character.
Yeah.
You know what I kind of like? I like the stuff with her mother, the flashbacks, because I've always liked it that no matter how much you try to keep humanity down, we always find a way, because his mother is reinvented a telescope or a micro, a microscope. You know, her mother. They knew about magnification, but she literally reinvents something that they didn't know existed in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you can't stop the future, no matter how hard you try. It's going to come back around.
Yep. Yeah, and they're trying to, like, I mean, you can't stop Yeah. I mean,
you can't stop progress.
Curiosity, ingenuity, progress, and you can't hide those secrets forever. Like, we're not really sure yet what the secrets are. Like, we don't really know why. I mean, it was asked again, like, in the flashback, Juliet's mother says, like, why don't it want me to make a magnifying device anyway? And her father's like, I don't know. I mean, I still think her father's lying. He's like, I don't know. We just can't do it. And, I mean, it's about control. And, I mean, there's definitely a fear of technology, right? But, like, to what, like, why wouldn't you want a microscope? Why wouldn't you want to be able to, like, see, like, Juliet's mother asked all the right questions, right? Like, if I can save people and we can do better medicine, like, why would we want this thing?
Right. Juliet's father, I really don't think he does know much. I think he's just a coward. He is just an out-and-out coward. I thought it was kind of, you know, it's funny when her mother was like, I know you told them. I hope it was worth it. And he's like, I didn't do it. And I'm like, you friggin' liar. Like, I didn't believe him at first either. And then I was like, you know, though, I was like, I have a feeling he didn't do it. And then, you know, later Juliet's like, it's the mirrors. They watch everybody and everything, you know, which I hadn't even thought about until she said it. So it turns out, you know, that it wasn't actually her father after all. He's just, you know, he's actually too much of a coward to rat out his wife. You know what I mean? Like, he's just.
Yeah.
He's very complacent and goes with the flow, like the whole birth control thing. And he's like, well, I kind of knew, but, you know, what am I going to do? You know, like, he's a chicken shit, you know?
Yeah, and maybe he knows a little or has seen enough that he's,
I think he knows as little as possible because he doesn't want to know because he has no backbone. I mean, the character is just very weak-willed. You know, he's, you know, very scared about everything. And, you know, and I think part of it is because, you know, and I don't even know if it's because he has such a high standing, you know, being a doctor, that he's afraid of losing it if he rocks the apple cart. I think it's just because he's a wuss.
And he says to Juliet, like, this is why I sent you, this is why I left you down in mechanical down below, because then you could, like, focus on building, fixing problems right in front of you and fixing things and blah, 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 and not be, and I was kind of like, wait, this is why you left her down in mechanical? Like, he didn't really have much of a, I guess he had to, like, sort of sign off on the end, but he didn't really have much of a choice because she was like, I'm out of here, right?
Well, yeah, because what's her name? We knew how it was going to turn out, obviously. But if he had said, no, you're coming home with me, then I don't think there would have been a choice, you know?
Yeah.
Because the last thing they want down there is trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just want them to stay down there, keep fixing stuff, get the generator running, and not, like, yeah. So, again, I read this, and I know what's going to happen to Juliet. That scene in the cornfield when Juliet has it all figured out that it's, like, Sims who's going to, you know, trying to take over the whole silo, and it's not, and it turns out that it's Sims. Like you said, you kind of knew, right? Like, you kind of
I didn't trust him, but I never, I never trusted him. I wasn't expecting, I really thought Sims was the mastermind. I wasn't expecting Tim Robbins to be the mastermind, but I'm not surprised by it either because I didn't trust him at all anyway. So that whole scene was great. I'm like, run to the cornfield.
Run, Juliet, run.
But I was also thinking I have no idea where she's going to go to get away. You can't really hide in a cornfield.
Yeah, no, and there was, and like, there's a moment where you think she's going to, like, she's actually a pretty decent fighter, and she's able to fight off those like, stormtroopers until, like, they all gang up on and they get her, right? And it actually turns out to be Billings' the syndrome where he's having like the shortness of breath and the spasms in a hand that enable her to get away.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. Like, that was pretty good foreshadowing for the last, like, six episodes that he's got the syndrome and, yeah.
I just want to know where the hell she jumped to.
Oh, that's going to be pretty awesome, right?
It usually doesn't end well for people that go over the rail. But I got to figure that she, the way she went over the rail, that she's, like, going to swing down to the next level or something.
Right, because she's like, a star,
you know, sure
in more episodes, right?
Right, defeats the purpose. Why is she, you know, she's not trying to kill herself, she's just trying to get away.
Yeah.
So they're having,
and this
they're,
is not
you
like,
know, I'm just anxious to see how
yeah.
she pulled it off.
And, like, when Rashida Jones died, you're, like, bummed, but it's the first episode, so you get it, right? Like,
right.
She, like, Juliet can't die because who's going to really, like, take over right now, right?
Who's going to take over Billings?
Yeah, but like, I don't know what floor she's on. Like, they're coming from the cornfield, and I don't know where that
yeah,
is.
I don't know either.
Except that when they went down there to talk, he's like, let's go down here and talk. It's pretty far. Like, I don't know if they went pretty far down. Like, could she have jumped just, like, onto the generator, or did she see, like, if this was, like, a Jason Bourne movie, he saw a garbage truck down there and he jumped over and landed in it, right? But
right.
it was a silo, so that's not what she jumped on. She has to be alive.
No, but
she has to have.
That's what I'm saying. Depending on where she is, she could have, like, the way her angle of going over, she could have swung to the next
mm-hmm.
level below.
I mean, we've seen her survive almost falling off before, so.
No, this time she definitely went off.
Yeah, she went off.
She was able to hold on.
And she took the hard drive, which is not really, I guess it's a hard drive. It doesn't look like a hard drive, but it's a hard drive.
It is a hard drive.
Because she booted it up and we saw what's
on. What do you mean
it
doesn't look like a hard drive?
Well, it's kind of big, but we don't know when it was, you know.
It's a hard drive from like a desktop computer.
Yeah.
You're probably used
to,
you know, the little hard drives that are in laptops now.
Well, and they call, I'm just going to call everything a hard drive because the previous thing she was calling a hard drive was actually like a camcorder, right? That one has never been, that one
she
left with Walker, and that hasn't been cracked yet.
Yeah, but when did she call that a hard drive?
She called it a hard drive.
She said,
she
I don't know what it
drive.
Is.
She called it a hard drive multiple times.
Really?
It doesn't matter. Well, they don't know what it is.
She wasn't talking about the hard drive?
She probably also, no, because she just got that hard drive like 2 weeks, like last week from like the vent where the previous guy hit it. At any rate, what was kind of crazy was when she's in the cornfield and Timothy, the mayor says, so you have the hard drive? And she's like, wait, what? And he's like, oh, shit, I said hard drive. Ha-ha. Like, he wasn't supposed to know she had the hard drive. And Common acted like he didn't know what she took out of the vent. Like, they were just after an unregistered artifact. Seems like everybody knew there was a missing hard drive all along. Like, that hard drive maybe has been missing for some amount of time, and they've been looking for it. And they didn't know who had it.
Right.
And it's kind of a big mystery is where the previous sheriff got it. His name was like where he got it, because he was like a non-believer. Like that is a big maybe season two mystery, maybe not. But like everybody knew about it. Like Juliet just discovered it, but apparently everybody knew it was rattling around, right?
What do you mean it's a mystery where Holden got it? Holden got it from her.
He didn't get it from Juliet.
Yeah, he did. It was in the bag.
The bag
Remember when they went down to the water and she followed the line and she pulled up the bag George left?
That's where it came from, Yeah.
It was in there.
And he got it from her. Okay, but still, that Timothy Robbins knew about it, like, it's been missing. Like, he's been looking for it maybe since before Juliet got it.
Yeah, he's probably been looking at it since before George found it, wherever George found
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was kind of a big but he it's funny because like Timothy Robbins, the mayor, like lets it out. He's like, oh, you have the hard drive, and she's like, the hard drive? He's like, oh, shit, that's a hard drive. But he's like, oh, I slipped, but he didn't really slip, right? He was like, basically, yeah. They're gonna like be like, you decided to clean, and we're gonna like kill you, and so we can tell the truth. But you know, she didn't decide to clean.
No.
It kind of makes us wonder if the previous sheriff decided to clean or if they set him up also. But he acted like he had decided. Like, I kind of
think
he decided,
we heard,
right?
No, we heard him say it. Remember, he said it to Marnes. He said,
oh,
I want to go outside.
He says, I want to go outside, yeah. He says, I want to go outside, yeah.
Right before right after he locked himself in the jail cell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He does say it. We saw that. I'm sorry. But I mean, how many people have they maybe said, I mean, she has the right to,
right.
It's great that she has Billings to always quote the pact, because people don't really care, like, the pact is the pact until like the mayor doesn't care about the pact. And Billings like, you have the
right
to a hearing and this and that, right? Yeah. So that was kind of cool, right? Yeah. So trying to see what else
is there to
cover in this, but yeah, I mean, I guess we're going to, I don't know if we're going to find out what's on the hard drive this season at all. I mean, I can't say from the book, and I can't say.
Well, we know a little bit from
yeah.
when George and Rashida Jones booted it up. Allison, right? Was that her name?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she has to try to find her. So, and like, who knows? Does anybody know? Like, does Martha know? Probably not. Does anybody know? Will Judge Meadows help her? Like, what's on it? I guess Juliet's friend, I don't know. You know her friend, she calls her Walk. I think it's Walker, the old lady.
Yeah.
Martha is her
yeah.
first name, right? Who stays down there, never goes out of her house.
I don't
somebody
know
like knocked on her
walk, yeah.
I think it's Martha. Somebody knocked on her door and she like almost came out but she didn't, right? Like she's like I'm kind of surprised Judicial's not onto her. Or maybe they are
yeah.
onto her, right? Like they have to know that that's where Juliet will go. She's like a mother to Juliet, right? She's
which is
mother,
probably why Juliet
yeah.
won't go there.
Yeah.
So that'd be pretty obvious.
Yeah. I mean, I know what's on that hard drive because I have read the books. But I think it's still a question of whether she'll find, because there's a renewal, there's a question of whether, like, we'd find out. So because I said I know what's on it, I'm kind of spoiling that we find out what's on it at some point, right? But I don't think did you ever think we weren't going to find out? No, that'd be a stupid book, right?
Yeah, no.
So I know what's on it, but I don't know if she's going to see that this season or the next 2 weeks. Like, is she going to find a way to crack that hard drive? And I don't, and will anybody ever, like, and, like, yeah, and how it went missing and all that stuff, right? So, anyhow, yeah. It's pretty, I mean, these books, I don't know if you want to read the book or not after you watch this because it might ruin a second season for you, or maybe you, I mean, who cares, right? Like,
I think
you read a whole bunch of other books before.
You know what? Yeah, you know what, though? With this, I might read the books after the show is over just to see the comparisons with how they did it.
Yeah, and you could just read, they're short books, and you could just read the first one, right?
Right.
Like, there's,
yeah.
there's Wool, Philo, and Sand, I think they're called. And you could just read, you know, and then stop when you catch up or whatever. So, anyhow, It's great. I think they're doing a great job on the show. I think, and I thought it looked beautiful. Like, so much of this episode took place on the staircase, and I was, like, watching very – I watched it on my larger laptop, and I was watching very carefully when they're running up and down the staircase, because I remember Jamie doing that interview where Rebecca Ferguson talked about how they built a pretty decent-sized section of the staircase for them to work on set, right? And then it's also a lot of CGI, but I always found myself looking at it and being like, wow, that's so cool that that's their, you know – that they did that practically, a big chunk of it. So, all right, so we have 2 more weeks of this also, right? I'm excited.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Then what are we ending with? What does that bring us to? Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
We covered? That's it.
That is all
this week. All right, I think we have another new one coming this week, right?
Do we?
Something is premiering tomorrow. Is tomorrow the 21st? Yeah.
Tomorrow is the 21st.
Yeah, something is back tomorrow, and it will come to me in 1 second. What shows are we waiting on? I'm Googling. TV season premiere June 21. We are getting tomorrow. Hang on. Let me check. Oh, that's not even a TV thing. Something is back tomorrow, and I forget what it is. Maybe it's a show that Jamie and watch and not you.
Is it From's back on Sunday?
From is back.
Is that
from over? From is back? From is back? I didn't watch the end of From yet.
I see that season 2, episode 10 is on Sunday. So that
might be the end of From. That might be the season premiere of From. The season finale of From. We are having, oh my God, something is on tomorrow, and I forget what it is.
I don't know.
Hang on, I'm looking up online because I'm going to have to find it. Tuesday, Monday. It's Wednesday. I don't know. Some show is back. Sorry. I should have written this down, right? So I could speak intelligently, which I never do on this podcast. I'm really sorry. All right. I'm pulling up the Hollywood Reporter, which has a full list of what's coming. And in June, we've got June 21. Oh, Secret Invasion is tomorrow.
That's what it is.
It's huge, right? It's a huge show. Secret Invasion is the Marvel show about the Skrulls invading Earth, and it's a Nick Fury show, right? And I guess some other people are in it. But, I mean, I think that you and I are both going to watch that.
Absolutely.
We'll add that to our list for next week. And that's really it for a while, I think, that we got coming back. I don't think we have a ton of other shows on our schedule. But, yeah, let's watch Secret Invasion and add that to our list.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
All right.
All right, Ian.
Yeah. All right. Until next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Have a good week.
And good night.